You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And so when he starts out 2 Corinthians, he says, now listen, if you notice, he starts 2 Corinthians with the words of comfort. He takes the verb paraclete and he parses the verb in three ways: paraclete, paraclesis, and paraclesis. And what he says in those three verbs is that you and I are in the business of supporting each other, regardless of what they are expressing. You are created by God to support someone in their difficult moments. Now, Pentecostals will throw you out in a New York minute. Oh, you're doing this and you're doing that. Put them out. When all behavior is not reprehensible. See, I have a problem with this anti-homosexual movement that's being fostered by the church, but we accept gluttony and everything else. I think if you're going to put one sin down, you ought to put them all down. These are individuals who need the same God that you do. And how are they going to find their way to him if we're so busy telling them they're going to hell but never tell them that Jesus loves them? I am not accepting the behavior, but I want to be a fountain of life to those who are thirsty. Now, this might shock you, but I'm amongst my home people now. That over the last 3-4 months, God gave me a burden for Elton John. I don't know where it came from. One Wednesday, I left the station after the broadcast. And some things that transpired. And I have this burden for this man. I'm crying for this man's soul. Yesterday, I came to the conclusion that if God intervenes, that if it's my responsibility to pray for this man, and God intervenes and sends somebody to get him saved, look at the testimony for Jesus Christ. But if nobody prays for these people, we are so busy condemning that we're forgetting we should be light. Now, you can sit there in the darkness and curse the darkness, or you can exercise a little energy and flip them back on and make the world a better place. God is doing a new thing. We have spent 2 or 3 generations putting people in hell, and God is saying, now go get them saved. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he said, unless your righteousness, your justice exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not come into the kingdom. What did Pharisees do? They told you about your sin and sent you to hell. Do you know Jesus? They brought a woman to Jesus. They said this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. And when you understand the kibbutz is where they lived. And the kibbutz was set up so that the tents were right next to each other. It was the original row house. And so the people, once you hit on somebody and the two of y'all kind of got together, they just roll right over into your place and everybody around would see what you're up to. So apparently these men are walking down the little road there within the community, and they heard the moaning and the groaning and the noise. And so they looked in. Because the Bible says she was taken in the very act. They looked in. Somebody's watching you. So they looked in and they grabbed her. Now, failing to realize it takes 2 to tango, and I think the guy that was in there was a Pharisee. That's why they let him alone. And so they grabbed her and brought her out, and they said, Moses said she should be stoned. Jesus said, you are correct. Moses did say that she should be stoned. He said, but I'm saying who gets to throw the stones. And I think the only one worthy to throw the stone is the one that has no sin. And the scripture said, from the eldest to the youngest, they walked away. What does that mean? That when we find someone in behavior that is contrary to the Lord, before we judge them, investigate us and see if God has done a new thing in us. Or we can walk up to the person and say, I know what you're going through. I've been through that. Let me help you out of it. As opposed to sending them to hell, I want to help you get to heaven. Glory. Now, you people watching by live stream, get it together. Because, see, the devil wants to turn you into a self-righteous hypocrite. All of us mess up. Amen. But we have an advocate, a lawyer named Jesus, who does never put his clients down. He says, look, just plead guilty because I know the judge. Just plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Say, Father, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm not bragging about it, but I need your help. And the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and God will stand them back up. I'm doing a new thing. And so Paul says we should comfort each other. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, I'm supposed to comfort you. I'm supposed to comfort you. Amen. Ask them, are you hurting? Tell them if you are. Yeah, I don't like you. Now, when you read through the rest of this letter, you get to the 5th chapter. And the apostle begins to address some issues that are germane to your evolutionary Christian life. That means our lives are always changing. He gets to the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in that verse, the apostle says, the changes that I put upon you are possible when you see yourself as a new creature. I'm a new creature. Now, when he uses the noun new, it's the Greek word kainos, and it means a species that has never existed before. Woo! Now listen carefully. Scripture has a scientific physical link. That's what God does. He ties scripture with science so that you can grasp it easier. He said, listen, everything in life is seasons and cycles, Ecclesiastes 3. Then in the book of Genesis, he says, as I live, there will always be 4 seasons. What's he saying? That as you can watch the change of seasons in the world, you ought to expect the change of seasons in your life. Now, psychologically, we learn that every 7 to 8 years, one undergoes a psychological change, which means, how many of you watch television programs that are reruns? Like TV Land, Nick at Night. Okay. Did you ever watch a program that you looked at as a child? Do you think the same way about it now that you did as a child? Right now, in fact, you look at it and say, this is stupid. But when you were a child, it was great. What is he saying? When I was a child, I understood as a child. Now you're saying, I'm different. Well, that's how you have to look at life. Now listen, I'm going to say something really bold. That's why some people don't fit you where you are. They were only for where you were. Glory to God. And you've got to have the guts and the courage to say, listen, I love you. You've been great, but it's over. Here, let me buy you a meal and we'll end it right here. Because where I'm going, you cannot go. Everybody can't go where you're going. Lord, help me. Not because they don't want to, but because they can't. Their mind is closed in. They see with a myopic eye. I need somebody that's got a 180-degree look. Oh, my God. Listen. Now, watch science. Watch science. Glory to God. This is pretty darn good. Woo! This will help you pass your SATs. You ever look when we're taught that in the animal kingdom, the female does the hunting. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen female lions hunt. The male stays home, watches TV, and drinks beer. Now, she calls him when her young son reaches alpha age and challenges mama. She calls daddy by a growl. Daddy hears the growl. Since the boy is not familiar with the growl, he doesn't pay any attention to it. But one day, daddy comes hopping into the camp, and what daddy will do is slap him at the head. He'll bow, and then daddy walks away again. That's how you know, they ain't married. That's her sugar daddy. So he just come in and get what he want, make a baby, leave, but she does have child support. She calls him. He comes back to raise them kids. Science. Now, when they go a-hunting, they decide it's time to hunt, and they hunt for the whole pride. Now, they usually form a semicircle when they hunt. And the semicircle is designed to prevent the animal, the prey, from being able to escape. So they have him covered at every angle. God has given them outstanding night vision. Now, since they weren't created to eat other animals, he just took into consideration they'd evolve into what they were not made to be. Oh, humans? Well, we'll leave that alone. Now, if you ever watch them, if you ever look at a good program, you will find that every other animal has their eyes probably in the same proximity as yours. But the female lioness, hers are closer to the end, so she can get a 180-degree look. So they know pretty much where the wildebeest is going. Now, why are they always able to be successful? Because they know that there will always be one who strays away. So that's what's called keeping an eye out. So they are looking, but they're looking 180 degrees so they can know when opportunity strikes. They are instinctive. They don't have souls, but they're instinctive. You and I have instinct and souls, but yet we don't know when God is moving. That's why he said in Isaiah, I'm doing a new thing. It's going to spring forth, but you won't even recognize it. Why? Because this is how we look at our life. Instead of looking like this. Now I'm realizing that whoever God sends into my life, even if they are not good to me, they are good for me. Because it propels me to a place that I never thought I would be. The scripture says, the psalmist says, it was good for me to have been afflicted, for in my affliction I learned your precepts. What's he saying? That negative things open up the way for a new view of God. You would have never known that God can provide for you until he shut off the other area. Oh, my God. You thought he was condemning you when he took that job away, but he was trying to show you, I'm trying to get you out of the world's economy into the kingdom economy. And once you get to the kingdom economy, there is no lack. So Paul says, this person is new. In 2 Corinthians 5, he said, we are new, a species that has never existed before. Now, let me give you my scientific tie-in here. The caterpillar is nasty, slimy, and disgusting. If I got a bunch of caterpillars and released them over in this area, you women would jump up. Some of you guys, too, would get up and run across the room. Because you look at the caterpillar, they got all that nasty hair on them, and they just look terrible. I used to love to step on them, you know, just to hear the pop, you know. And then sometimes they would fall from the trees. In front of our door, we had this black chestnut tree. And they would always, at a certain point of the year, they always had caterpillars. And the caterpillars used to fall. And I would get a caterpillar, put it in my hand, and chase my mother up the steps. Because she hated slimy creatures. Ooh, she hated them. The woman would beat a mouse to death with a broom. I mean, chase it and beat it to death. But you had a caterpillar, she'd go, you know. But anyway, I would chase her through, Now, I did not know the physiology of the caterpillar in those days. It was just something that we picked up and played with. Like, you know, Daryl would let his caterpillar fight mine, and they would kind of just, you know, they're on Van Pelt, and they'd be fighting, and, you know, and so. But then we learned later in school that the caterpillar enters a stasis where they cocoon themselves. When they cocoon themselves, their bodies let off this liquid that wraps them within the cocoon that causes them to become transformed. When the cocoon breaks away, they become butterflies. They're a species that has never existed before. But they had to cocoon themselves and emit. Here's what my physical science teacher told me. He said the butterfly is the result of the death of the caterpillar. So, oh my glory, oh my glory, oh my glory, watch, watch. Woo! The butterfly in all of its beauty is the result of the caterpillar dying, which means that when you die to Christ or in Christ, you ought to be more beautiful than you were when you were a sinner, because now you are a butterfly. You used to be a slimy, nasty caterpillar, but now you're a beautiful butterfly. Hallelujah! Tell somebody, I'm a butterfly. Ow! So Paul says, I'm a new creature. Come on, say it. Do you understand? Change with God comes from change from God. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. The old bondage is done. He said, look here, you're a new creature. Old things. Old things. Stuff you used to say about me doesn't bother me anymore. People that used to harass me can't harass me anymore. People who used to come at me, they're just fuel for my glory. I am not a subject to those bad things anymore. Old things are passed away. He said, behold. Behold. Say behold. I love the Elizabethan language. Behold. Behold means look. He would not tell you to look unless there was something to look at. All things, 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 all things are new. Ask your neighbor, what's new? Here's how you answer. All things. Last week I complained. This week I'm praising. Last week I was sick. This week I'm singing. Last week I was oppressed. Today I'm getting my groove on. If Roz doesn't play anything, I'm still going to dance. Hey, glory, I got a dance in me. All things are become new. My outlook is new. I realize that what comes in my life that is negative is fertilizer to help me bear fruit. I will no longer think that God has turned his back on me. This light affliction is but for a moment, but it will yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness. All things. You baby boomers, those of you born between 46 and 66, you can remember the dances of your generation. I just heard about it. You had the twist introduced by Chubby Checker. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. And you be out in the middle of the floor. Come on, baby. Just back and forth. Let's do the twist. Nothing lascivious about it. It was a good cardio workout. Then you had the cha-cha. You had the watusi, the boogaloo, the jerk. Only problem with that is we didn't know if you were having a seizure or not. Then the dances evolved. Your dances were easy on the joints. Nobody got arthritis from the dances of that day. Most you got was this. Then later on, they morphed into the new generation. That's why none of those kids are going to have good joints when they reach 20 and 30. Hammer had to stop because you couldn't touch this. He hopped himself right into retirement. Now, Smokey is 975 years old, still singing. The new rappers, each one has a microphone. They all over the place. The temps would step and all come back to one microphone. That's why Otis, the rest of them died. Otis still going. Still going. Bringing in new people, still holding it together. See, those were sensible people. None of our folks back from back then, they didn't quit because they couldn't physically do it. They just stood there. Gladys had you leaving on the midnight train to Georgia, and the most the Pips did was, woo-hoo! They do a little. Then here come Michael Jackson. And we said, oh, praise the Lord! Tearing up your joints, tearing up your body. Everything evolves. Everything changes. Everything is new. Everything in our generations change. Clothes change. Baby boomers' clothes were meant to cover you. They didn't make a statement of your economic success. You just wore them. Britches 6 inches off your shoe. Didn't matter. You were ready for a flood. Everybody else had to run in the house when the rain came. You were like, I'm ready. I'm ready.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, A New Time is Coming, or the program number 07219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.